Ed, good afternoon to you. Thank you for being on board as we're dodging the rain showers. They are here yonder and about. Not a lot of movement to them, and because of that, they are putting down quite a bit of rain, and it just depends on where you are. There's the one in southern Henderson right now. It is drifting, and I say drifting. It's not moving with any force, but it's drifting southwest. So, in other words, it's going to intersect Green River, and it's probably going to even come into Transylvania County if it keeps going the way it's going right now. It looks like that it may even cross over into Greenville County if it continues. There's that one, and then there's one in southern Buncombe right now. And it, I thought it was going to calm down a little bit, but it may have actually picked up a little bit of intensity. We'll keep an eye on that one. There's one up around Cullowhee. I think it's going to move away from us. And so these are just those afternoon and evening variety thunderstorms that don't really have a place of origination. They just kind of came. They just kind of happened. And again, they don't have a clear destination. And even though they're small in diameter, they can put up some fierce lightning storms, you know, big winds, cause some problems, power outages and all the rest, even though they're fairly small. All right, well, we've got a couple of small traffic issues to tell you about. The first one is I-40. There is a wreck over around Highway 9, I-40 and Highway 9 in Black Mountain. A wreck right there on the interstate. That would be to the west side of the Richard Petty Bridge. And it has got traffic backed up. Well, it's there. What happened was there was a construction zone there, and now there's a wreck there. So now we've got almost a 2-mile backup, and we sure do, as far as the interstate is concerned, and it's backing up toward Asheville. Okay, so if you're going I-40 eastbound toward Ridgecrest, you got some issues, and you might want to take the old road. I don't know. And also this afternoon, I saw another wreck. What happened to it? Well, they must have cleared it. Nope, there it is. There is a wreck on 25, on Highway 25. It's on the southbound side, I think, from the looks of traffic. I believe it's southbound. It's going to be right near the parkway, and it's going to have things backed up right through that section. Okay? 25A, about like normal this time of the day. I-26 is moving today. It's a little off the pace, as it should be. There's rain, number one, and then number two is the construction, so our average speed is off, but it's moving, and so we're glad for that. In Asheville, about like usual, with maybe a little longer wait coming down from UNCA across the bridge, all of that is probably a little slower than I would have it predicted for a Tuesday afternoon. As we look toward the west, don't see any issues that way. I believe we're good there. And as I look on, I think everything's decent. Don't see too many problems. Okay. Let me see what that is, see if there's anything I can do about that. In there around on 64, Highlands Road, in there around Cullisadia. Right through that, where LJ Road, right in that section, that's pretty slow this afternoon, and I'm not sure what that's about. But anyway, it's not typically that way. So whatever it is, it's a little different to talk about here this afternoon. Okay, all right. But that's what we have for the mountains. The secondaries all look pretty good. Not a lot to talk about. When we drop off the mountain to the upstate, you got your normal problems in Greenville, but add a wreck in with it today. So I-85 southbound is really slow near the wreck there, just past 14. And then you've also got two more wrecks on I-85 southbound, and they're going to be on both sides of the 191 exchange. So we've got two wrecks, one on either side of 291 and 85 southbound. Okay. Looking at everything else, you're probably going to be all right. I was looking to see how the weather's impacting you. And I have to sometimes change maps here to see what I want to see, and just to see if you are having any weather impact. And seems like most of the impact is up here today, and so don't see a lot, but it may go south. We'll see how that all plays out. All right, go over to Spartanburg. You're okay. Remind you that 585 is closed now because of construction. Will be for several years, actually. And then you still got your split up around the Macedonia community down by Cowpens, where they're redoing all the interstate there. Well, they've got one lane of traffic going down the emergency lane of the other side of the highway. I know that sounds strange, but that's how they're doing it. Yeah. So they got these barricades up, and you split. Some go right, some go left, and it's interesting. I will say that. But they're making it work. One other wreck to tell you about. This one, come on now. This one is, I don't know what it's doing. This one is at the intersection or near the intersection of Roper Mountain Road and 14. Okay, so I don't know a whole lot other than that. Roper Mountain Road and 14 is where the slowdown looks like is occurring. All right? All right, thank you so much for being on board again. Appreciate the mercy of the Lord and appreciate God's goodness and grace here on a Tuesday afternoon. 79 degrees at the Asheville Airport. We're at 78, real close there. Tonight, 70% chance of thunderstorms. They are likely, and that decreases to 60% the later we get. Tomorrow morning, fog, and then 88 for a sunshiny day. And we're going to have about 3 days back-to-back sunshine. A little unusual. There's a frontal boundary that's right on top of us. And that boundary, once these showers that are riding it south, once those clear, that's pretty well going to be it because there's some dry air coming in behind it. Now, I will say this. It's hot and dry air. You know, we were talking about yesterday, we hadn't seen 90s much. Well, we're fixing to see it. Thursday and Friday, we're going to be at 91 degrees. Now, that sounds cool for everybody else, but you understand, in the mountains, we have homes that don't have air conditioning. Never needed it. As a kid, we never had air conditioning. We never knew what that was. And houses weren't built like that, built with an oil furnace, and that was the way it was. So you opened the windows, turned the fan on if it got real hot. So we're at 91, 88 tomorrow, 91 Thursday, 91 Friday. I don't think there's enough time to cut hay in there because you got some chance of some rain coming back in Friday night and Saturday. We'll see. All right. And then once it comes back in, it's rain, 30, 40, 50% chance every day. Yeah, right on through for a week. So we'll watch that and see how it turns out. I mean, the weekend's not a rain out. It's just a chance of those afternoon and evening showers that plague us, okay? All right, well, this afternoon, the 27th day of the month of July, the last Tuesday of the month, the listener's portion of the general budget here at AM 720 being sponsored by the Mountain View Baptist Church in honor of the day their church was established. And we salute Mountain View and thank them for standing with us in the general budget this past year at Share-a-thon. And we appreciate that so very, very much. Also, our network budget today is being brought to us in thankfulness to the Lord for His many blessings, His continued provision, His unconditional love toward His children. And, of course, that's sponsoring 94.9 FM, sponsoring WGCR.net, sponsoring the preaching channel, the music channel, and the video channel. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, we hear you say that, but what does that mean? Well, okay, let's explain it. Better than explain it, I'm going to open the ABN app. If you've got a smartphone, you can go to either the Play Store or to the Apple App Store, and you can look us up. It took a lot of work to get registered with those companies. And we're called ABN, Anchor Broadcasting Network. And you will see the app. And if you'll click on that, download it, then you'll have direct access. Now, you can do it on your computer. You can go in that way. But if you want access on your smart device, and for instance, I'm just going to touch the button right now and show you how it works. And so right now, I'm going to do WGCR Live. And what you're going to hear is my voice running behind.
Apple App Store. And you can look us up.
I just said that.
A lot of work get registered with those companies.
And it runs 60-second or something like that behind. And so that's live radio. So you don't have to be in the signal of the AM or the signal of the FM, but you can hear us. And by the way, the AM, the FM, and the internet are always the same. Okay, so you can count on those three, always the same, WGCR.net, WGCR FM 94.9, and AM 720 when it's on the air are always the same. 94.9 and WGCR.net are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But we also have a music channel. Let's see what's playing. It's the Whisnots, and the name of the song is A Grave Mistake. And that's, and if you like music without preaching and without news and all the commentary, nothing but music, 24 hours a day. Once every 15 minutes, it says you're listening to the music channel. And it goes on, starts back over. And there are thousands of songs on the music channel, 24/7. Now let's go to the preaching channel.
The person named in Ruth is Boaz.
That's right, buddy.
Hey, man, at best this, we're sixes. We're falling short.
Preaching right now is Brother Mark Stroud. And the title is How to Get Where God Is. And Mark Stroud starts tonight, started last night at Mount Sinai. And so Mark Stroud from the Wahoo Baptist Church in Georgia. And we'll have probably 30, 31 messages a day. No music, just preaching back to back to back. And it always tells you who it is. But here's the neat thing about the preaching channel. The preaching channel is interactive, meaning that you can go in and look up preachers by their name. You can look up messages by the title. And you can also look up by the scripture reference. And so if you're studying Psalm 23 and you'd like to know what people had to say about it, you can bring up messages and listen to them on demand about Psalm 23. So the WGCR Radio Live, that's WGCR.net. And then the music channel, WGCRmusic.net. The preaching channel, WGCRpreaching.net. And we also have a TV station. And the TV station,
once again,
right now,
hear me?
I'm watching it.
We need the power of God.
Dr. R.K. Lee.
And if we're not careful,
preaching right now. And on the preaching channel, on the video channel. But not only do we have preaching from Midway, Brother Ricky Lee from Midway. Not only do we have the messages, but also we've got, there'll be two or three songs, live songs recorded, and then the preaching. But so between every preacher, there's two or three songs, and all the Share-a-thon singers. And so that does it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's always the TV channel that's on, and it's called WGCR Video Channel. And it's some of your favorite preachers and some of your favorite musicians singing in Share-a-thon's past. So the WGCR Video Channel, WGCRvideo.net. And so when I say network, that's what I'm talking about. The network all combined includes WGCR AM 720, the largest gospel music station in the United States of America. And it is. It's the largest square wattage, wattage and square mile gospel music station, nonprofit in the United States. Not on the AM dial. We're 50,000 watt clear channel. That's as big as you'll ever get. You can't go no higher. Our FM 94.9, it covers the French Broad River Valley and is on 24 hours a day. WGCR.net is the oldest Christian internet station continuously still broadcasting on the internet. We were the first. There may have been one before us, but they left. They went out of business. We're the oldest continuous nonprofit Christian radio station on the World Wide Web, and we don't take that a light thing. Yeah, we started back in the mid-90s, and so it wasn't much, but it worked, and we've been broadcasting continuously ever since. Of course, the music channel, the video channel, the preaching channel now been on for years. And by the way, on that video channel, it's now interactive. You can go in and watch messages. You sure can. You got a smart TV? You can go in and watch messages. If you've got Roku, if you've got an Apple television, if you've got what? Amazon. If you got any of those, go to our app, ABN. It'll be white with black letters, ABN. Click on that, and you can pick out what you want to watch. Sure can. It's all interactive in whatever preacher you'd like to watch. So all of that's available. All that's part of what we call the Anchor Broadcasting Network. And so we're glad of that. And you pray with us. We'd like to expand that in the days ahead. And pray the Lord will allow us to do that. And the Lord will give us the strength, the staff, and the wisdom to be able to make that happen. Listening this afternoon by way of the World Wide Web. All the way, folks, in San Jose, California, Claremont, Florida, Scammon, Kansas, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Kearney, Nebraska, Nassau, New York, White Plains, New York, Grassy Creek, North Carolina, Silva, Franklin, Brevard, Weaverville, Hendersonville, all listening in North Carolina, Dayton, Ohio, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, Rock Hill, Greer, and Lancaster, South Carolina. We've got folks that are listening in Houston, Texas, multiples. We've got folks in Europe on with us this afternoon, and that's all the ones we can discern. I've got dozens of unknowns, so we've got a lot more folks than that. We just can't figure out where you are. All right, so thank you so much for being with us. And somebody made the statement, somebody made the statement, said, you know, people overseas listen. They do. I listen a lot. We have folks listening all the time, literally all over the world. Now, by the way, that does not count any of our Facebook. Nope, does not count any of the Facebook. So when I give you all those places, Facebook's a totally different animal. And so doesn't count any of those. Okay, I don't have any birthdays today. I don't have any anniversaries today. And so, all right, we appreciate you being on board. Appreciate you being with us. Let me just answer a question. Yes, we did have EMS here a little earlier. We had a lady, actually, there's some of our guys. We were out measuring. We're getting ready to redo our playground. And so we were working on the playground, or getting ready to work. And I heard something, looked up just to see a lady fall. I saw her. I think I saw her hit the ground. Her buggy got away from her. She tried to run it down. Her feet got crossed, so she went down on her knees in a full run, then spun around, and the back of her head collided with the asphalt. So she was, it jarred her pretty good. And of course, because of the head injury, we called EMS and had them come. And then she chose not to go to the hospital. She signed a release. And so for that reason, she was, I won't say that she was okay, but she left here in a private vehicle, I'll put it that way. And come to find out, she was a nurse visiting from Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah. So anyway, that's what happened. And so folks, I have folks start calling. What happened? What happened? Anytime they hear on the scanner, the folks coming to Anchor, that's what it was. Somebody, one of our warehouse clients, fell and hit the back of their head. Okay? All right. Well, bless the Lord for all of the motorcycles last week. That project lasted for 8 days. And by the grace of God, we end up buying motorbikes, $1,200 a piece. Motorbikes made by Kawasaki or in joint with Kawasaki in India. And we bought, they asked for three. We bought seven motorbikes at $1,200 a piece. And then we bought two for the Philippines. And Vanny's trying to raise money to put a sidecar on his to make it into a tricycle. And then we bought two for Haiti. And that's going to revolutionize their ministry because gasoline's $20 a gallon. That's U.S. dollars a gallon in Haiti. And then we were able to buy a motor rickshaw in Pakistan. And that thing has like an open back on it, and it's got seats that face the side. And you can get four people on each seat, and then, of course, the driver. So a nine-passenger motor rickshaw. Kind of reminds you of if you've ever seen a Cushman, kind of reminds you of that, small tires, and they're just designed to put around town with. They're going to use that as the church van and the school bus for our Christian school there, the Blessed Hope Learning Center in Pakistan. Yeah. And so somebody asked the other day, said, how do you get by with doing that, being Christians? How do you get by with doing that in Pakistan? And we laughed and said, well, to them, we're not Christian, we're Baptist. And we've got the word Baptist on the sign, but I don't guess they think Baptists are any threat. You heard about the old deacon, didn't you? You heard about the two churches? There was a Baptist church wasn't doing so well, and then it was a Christian church down the road. They weren't doing so well either. So they decided to get together and merge. So the talks were underway, and so we had the deacons from both groups were together, and they were trying to hash it out. And they said, well, what are we going to call it? Well, of course, the deacon from the Christian church said, I think we need to call it so-and-so Christian church. And one of the Baptist deacons spoke up. He said, let me tell you something. I've been a Baptist all my life, and I ain't about to become a Christian now. That wouldn't be funny if it wasn't so true. That's the bad part. That wouldn't be funny if it wasn't didn't have so much truth in it. And I'm sad to say there are going to be some people frankly amazed when they stand before God. I'm telling you. The Rogers family are singing. Ricky Lee just got finished his message, and now they're singing on the video channel. So I'm going to stick them on there just for a second. We're trying to get them to come up and vacation with us a little bit, see some stuff. They haven't got to do a whole lot, and so we'd like to get them up here. And we've had the Ages in here. We've had other ones in here that they on the road so much, travel so much, work so much. I want to get them in here so they can see some of the sites besides Share-a-thon. You know, just there's more to our area than just Share-a-thon. And so we'd like to get that done. All right. Well, we are, again, thankful for all the motorbikes and the rickshaw, the motor rickshaw. Thank you for doing that very, very much. I got a text today. There's an opportunity to buy another property in the country of Venezuela. Now, let me tell you what's crazy. This is hard to believe. When I say this, people always say, what? Because they can't believe it. And it is unbelievable. But I actually have an app that's in the Venezuelan language. And it checks the currency. And it's a live action app. And it is actually got Julio 27th. It's actually got July 21st, 5:21 p.m. You can't imagine this, because I checked it over the weekend, and it was, I was showing Brother Wefley. I say over the weekend, it was probably Friday when I checked it, and it was 4 million Bolivar Soberanos, which is their currency, to one American dollar since Friday. They have lost more ground. Now they are at 4.133 million of their currency against one of ours. Imagine this. A child could not carry in a trash bag enough money to go to the store to buy a piece of candy. And I'm telling the truth. And here's the bad part. The government set the wage at $6 million. $6 million was what the wage was set at. Is that right? Or was it $9 million? Well, if it's $9 million, let's go with a higher number just so. If it was $9 million, that's going to get them $2 and change in American money for a month. A month. Wefley told us $50. I thought it was a week. It's a month in Haiti. But can I tell you, Haiti is no longer on the bottom of the list in this hemisphere. It's Venezuela. And the bad part of it is, Venezuela is now at the bottom of the list, even below North Korea, the poorest country in the world for years. They were below Haiti. But now Venezuela has now taken the poorest country on earth. Now, let me tell you, is it the wage is $7 million? Okay. So they don't even get $2 now. They don't even get $2 a month. And you know the bad part? Things are costing the same as they do here. I'm very serious when I tell you that. Things cost about what they do here. It takes them, they have to work all day for one aspirin. Somebody said, well, how do they do it? There are no plump people in Venezuela. They're all skinny. One preacher weighed 250 probably. He's down to about 160, 170. And he has not been dieting. He's not been able to get anything to eat. And that's the truth. There's a group of young men follow the trash truck. And they go through the trash can seeing if they can find food in the richer neighborhoods. Very serious. Dire conditions in Venezuela. Now here's the, let me tell you the bad part about that. Just under their feet, I don't know how far down, 1,000 feet, 2,000 or 3,000 feet down, don't know exactly how far it is. But under the feet of the Venezuelan people lies the largest hydrocarbon reserves on Earth, as far as we know. The northern part of South America has some of the richest natural gas and oil reserves, more than Kuwait, more than Saudi Arabia, more than anywhere in the Middle East, Venezuela. In the 1950s, Venezuela was considered to be fourth in the world of all the affluency of all nations behind the United States, England, and first world countries. They were number four. There are skyscrapers. There are beautiful homes. There are, nice road projects, bridges, all sorts of things. And it's all crumbling. And it looks as if there's been an apocalypse or something. Because basically communism, socialism, they don't call it communism, they call it socialism. Socialism kicked the American companies out. The people don't know how to drill for the oil. They don't know how to refine it. They don't know anything about it. And therefore, fuel there is non-existent. You can't get fuel. And so the whole infrastructure has crumbled. Oh, it's a mess. Having said that, though, he didn't send me a price, but we have been buying commercial buildings in Venezuela. We have an attorney, a set of attorneys there, and they charge us a very fair fee. Of course, they're getting rich from their standpoint, but for as we're concerned, very, very fair to us. We've been buying properties. We've bought 13 thus far. And we don't take title in our own name. Matter of fact, some of the churches don't even know where it came from. All they know is they were called to the lawyer's office to sign a deed to put the property in their name. We've done that multiple times. We've been buying church buildings where they were renting them. We would buy it and give it to them. When they got kicked out, we would go buy them a place. And we've bought houses. We bought big villas with walls that we've turned into churches. We bought a camp. We got a camp. We bought a missionary training center. We bought 10 acres with a wall around it for like $2,500. The most I've paid for anything during this is $7,500, and I'm talking about a big piece of property for $7,500. But do the math. In their money and in their, by their calculation, it's unbelievable, especially when you figure what they're making. So if you take 4 million, I got the calculator out, times $7,500, if my calculator goes high, it won't go that high. It done an error. But you're talking about a lot of Bolivianos. And by the way, this is the new one. The old one is it's Bolivar. The old Bolivar was the Bolivar Forte, which means strong Bolivar. Well, they won't even pick it up off the street now. It's still legal currency, but they make hats out of it and sell them as tourists for tourism. All this little folding stuff, and they sell them that way. They put it up as wallpaper in their houses. I mean, a truckload of it wouldn't be worth a dollar, hardly. So they come out with a new one, and it's the Bolivar Soberano. And it started out like on a one-to-one basis, and now it's 4.13 million to one, to one U.S. dollar. And there are places and people that won't take Bolivar. They want dollars. The problem is it's illegal to have dollars in the country. But that's how you're supposed to operate. So anyway, I won't tell you how, but we are able to make our transactions. And when we pay in dollars, we are able to buy some unbelievable investments. Never. 37 years of pastoring, over 40 years in the ministry, I've never made this kind of investment that had the kind of returns. One of these days, the people will overthrow socialism. One of these days, the people will return to democratic values and capitalism. One of these days, that real estate's going to be worth a small fortune because it's got oil under it, all over the country. And if the Lord doesn't come, one of these days, they're going to wise up, quit listening to Russia and China, and Cuba and Bolivia, and the socialist bloc countries there. One of these days they'll wise up and realize that just like the Kuwaitis. Did you know that Kuwaitis don't have to work? Did you know that? Did you know Saudis don't either? Kuwaitis and Saudis don't have to work. A lot of them do. Now, Iraqis work, but Saudis don't. Somebody says, why don't they work? It's because they get an oil check. The Saudi Arabian people own the oil, and therefore they get a check every month for being Saudi. Kuwaitis get a check every month for being Kuwaiti. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Trust me, I know very well what I'm talking about. I've been to Kuwait, I've been to Saudi Arabia. Sure I have. Egypt and the edge of Libya and Israel and, yeah, all over that part of the world. And in good and bad situations. Mm-hmm. Sure have. And so just saying this, that there's no reason why the people of Venezuela are not just as affluent as the people of Kuwait or the people of Saudi Arabia. There's no reason. And by the way, if they would let America come in there and pump the oil and refine the oil, we would stop buying altogether from the Middle East, and we would make every Venezuelan a very rich person. But socialism told them that the Americans were stealing their oil, and therefore run them out and socialize the oil wells and the oil fields. And so they did. Did the same thing in Bolivia. Fuel is higher in Bolivia right now than it was before they did it. Gasoline in Bolivia is still running $5, $6 a gallon in Bolivia. And they've got huge hydrocarbon resources. Doesn't matter. It's socialized. And so therefore, there's no profit in it. Therefore, there's no incentive in it. And therefore, people have a shortage. That's the way it works. And so, I'm just saying. I am a believer in free enterprise to the point. Okay, now listen to what I'm fixing to say. I'm a believer in free enterprise to the point that I don't believe that there ought to be a law against raising the price of a commodity during a disaster. So I said, well, preacher, that's not right. Well, think about it. If you need water into the people, and you need it badly, and people have money, they just don't have any water, The market will determine whether or not it's worth bringing water in. You make it worth somebody's time, they're going to go to a place that has water and buy it, and they're going to carry it down there and sell it on the side of the road if you get the price up. See what I'm saying? And some people are going to get water. And the word's going to get out that, hey, water's $10 a gallon, and a lot of people are going to fill their pickup trucks full of water, and they're going to show up. And then somebody's going to say, hey, we'll sell ours for $9. Then the other guy's going to say, hey, I'm going to sell mine for $8. Then somebody's going to say, hey, I'm just going to double my money. I'll sell mine for $2 a gallon. And the guy says, I want $6. He goes, look, I can buy it right down the street for $2. So he drops it for $2. And there's water into the system. You see what I'm saying? I know a guy that during Katrina bought a whole load of generators, took them down into Louisiana to sell them. He would sell you a gallon of gas, a gas can. He had a 5-gallon gas can full of gasoline. And I believe he was getting $2,000 cash for a generator and a gas can and 5 gallons of gasoline. $2,000. Now, that generator at Lowe's would have cost you probably, back then, probably about $500 for that generator. The thing about it is, he was from Arkansas. And he took all of his money out of the bank, and he bought a whole load of generators, and he bought him a whole load of gas tanks, and he bought all that gasoline, and he took off work, and he went all the way down there. Here's the thing. There were people who were willing to pay that. There were people who were willing to pay that. They had the money. They were willing to pay that. But they took his generators away from him and took his gas cans away from him and took his gasoline away from him and said they're going to lock him up if you come back. Now, personally, I don't believe in that. Somebody said, well, you ought not make that kind of profit. Well, okay, let me explain to you. If I'm an American and I've got $2,000 and I just need a generator, and I see a guy on the side of the road with a generator for $2,000, I know that generator will cost $5 in normal circumstances. That gas can cost $20. That gas that's in it costs $10. So he's got $530 in it, maybe. But he took off work. He took the money out of the bank and he invested in that. He brought it down there. Now, if it's that overpriced, just drive on by. You ain't got to buy it. But for people who can afford it, they'll say, hey, I know I'm getting taken, but I need the generator worse than I need the $2,000. I'll take it. And there's one less person dependent upon the government because of capitalism. So this thing of stopping products from going in, this thing of stopping people from going in, I disagree with it. Now, granted, there needs to be regulations, especially on stinking contractors who don't know what they're doing, that take people's money, they don't finish the jobs. I run into so much of that stuff. But that ought to be handled by a different group. In other words, that ought to be regulated differently. But if a man wants to come in there, I mean, think about it. We do it for free. I'll explain something to you. I've seen a time that I would give $50 bill for a hot meal. If somebody with a chuck wagon had rolled in and they had roast beef and mashed potatoes and green beans and rolls and it's $50 a plate, I got an option. Eat or don't eat. You know what? I've seen a time I'd have given it. I'd have paid it in a minute. I'd have paid it in a minute to got to a hot meal because I'd eat MREs till I was sick. So I said, well, it didn't cost him that. Well, you don't have to eat it. My point is you don't have to buy it. Free market. Does it have its hiccups? Yes. But as soon as the second chuck wagon rolls in and they're selling meals for $40, everybody's going to run over there. So he's going to drop his price to $35. And then this guy's going to drop his to $25 a meal. And you know what? Before long, we'll be paying regular prices. But you got to remember, when people stay in, you know, when they're in hotels and when they took off work and when they got their gas, if it's not worth their trouble, why come? Not everybody's coming for the goodwill. See what I'm saying? But here's my premise, okay? This is just where I'm going. As an American, I have the right to do business with another American, and it ain't nobody's business how much I pay for what he has. It ain't nobody's business. I have the right to do business with him. I'm an American. Therefore, and he's an American, therefore, there ought not be any government intervention between the two of us. But that's not the way the government looks at it. And you say, well, preacher, you're taking it to the extreme. Well, I'm just saying that principle that's in place. You cannot buy drugs outside of this country. You can't buy pharmaceuticals. I can go right now. I can drive to McAllen, Texas. I can park in a big parking area on the American side of the Rio Grande River. I can walk across a bridge, and I can buy the same prescriptions. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. The same prescriptions by the same companies, many of which are made in Mexico. I can buy those pharmaceuticals for less than my deductible on my insurance. I've done it. The problem is, they've made it illegal. There's no prescription on that side, but they've made it illegal to cross the border with prescription drugs. Even though it's the same brand, even though it's the same company, even though it's the same dosage, the same strength, they've made it illegal. There is no reason in the world why Americans should not be able to do mail order business with pharmaceutical companies in the country that they exist. Do you know that a huge part of the diabetic supplies, a huge amount of diabetic supplies come from Europe? Some of the major pharmaceutical names that are known to us today, they're in Europe. And you can buy it over there way cheaper than you can here. Same stuff. They import it. Why should I not be able to buy it? What I'm saying is, if the free market, I've said this for years, if you want to fix the doctor issue and the hospital issue, it's easy. Do away with these crazy laws that doctors can't advertise. Hospitals can't advertise. Same thing with health insurance. How many Geico commercials have you seen in your lifetime? How many times have you seen that smug little lizard? 15 minutes will save you 15%. How many times have you seen that? How many times have you seen Liberty, Liberty, Liberty? You're in good hands with all states. Farmers, ba-dump, bump, 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 bump. How many times? You know those commercials like, you know the jingles. You know all those commercials. They spend millions of dollars on TV commercials. What if? They're trying to get you to switch your car insurance and switch your house insurance. What if you had that many commercials and that many companies vying for your healthcare business? What if Blue Cross Blue Shield could come on the radio and say, we'll save you 15 minutes, we'll save you 15% to switch to Blue Cross Blue Shield? And they're competing nationally. See, that's the problem. Only ones in North Carolina in the state charter, only those can compete. Nobody across state lines can compete for our business. You know what that's done? It's locked our pool in. It's locked in our risk pool. You know what I'm saying? What are you talking about? Well, if you take people my age in this state, there's 10 million something of us in this state for its total population. You take all the people my age, my gender, it narrows it way down. Right now, you take all of our hospital bills, all of our doctor bills, all of our medical bills, you put them in a pot, add 10% or whatever the markup is, and that's how much your insurance premium is going to be. That's how they do it. My insurance premium is more than a house payment. My insurance premium is more than a house payment, a car payment. My insurance premium is more than a house payment, a car payment, and all the utilities. If the church didn't pay my insurance, I wouldn't have any. And I don't know what I'd do. And Obama lied. I didn't get to keep my same insurance. I didn't get to keep my same coverage. I didn't get to keep anything. They canceled it. Everything changed. And my insurance is now unbelievable what it cost. My insurance costs more than I used to make in a month. I said that to say this. If that group broadened to include everybody my age in all 50 states, and they were all put into the same group, it's bound, the strength of numbers, it's bound to cause it to go down. But they can't do that. Not allowed to do that. So for that reason, I'm paying extraordinary health insurance. And until Medicare starts, I have no options. I can't live with it, and I can't live without it. I'm home. And if I had not had the insurance and my church taking care of me, I'd have bankrupted. I'd have lost everything I had. You know what my surgery last year? It's a week ago tomorrow. A week ago. It's a year ago tomorrow. You know how much my surgery ended up costing? If you take all the run-up to it and all the things combined, you know what it cost? $243,000. Remember years ago, there's a TV program called The $6 Million Man? Friend, I'm the $250,000 man. Now, let me say this. I'm thrilled. My back's, it's good. I can't dig ditches. I can't chop wood. I'm not going to dig any post holes. But I guarantee you, I could walk to the top of the mountain right now if I needed to. This time last year, I was in a wheelchair. I was. I'm good. I got bone growing back. Got good report from the doctor. I'm thrilled. Told him I was thrilled. But I've got a bulging disc in my neck again. Now I'm a burning. My muscle in my back of my neck hurts bad. I can't hardly stand it. That's why I'm not going to a lot of meetings, other things. It's all I can do. The time I take all the medicine, it's just all I can do to make it. Just a few hours a day. I'm having a fit. I go 2 weeks from yesterday to have another MRI. And I may be having the same thing done to my neck. I may be having a fusion on my neck. That's what they're talking about. I just come from Walgreens with a bunch of steroids. I'm going to start those tonight. And there goes some sleepless nights and eat the wallpaper off a wall. I guarantee you that. Every time I take them, good gracious. Can't sleep and hungry. Have mercy. Can't get enough to eat. But that I start that tonight and trying to get it to settle down. Been to the chiropractor today. He worked on it trying to get it out. And I've eaten enough Advil and Tylenol to rot your liver and kidneys, I'm telling you, sure. But point of the matter is, we could fix this. There's nothing wrong with capitalism. Yes, it does have its issues. And especially when greed's involved. And it does have its issues. And when you have a monopoly. But if you let the free market take its place, without collaboration, it will. It'll fix itself. And I've said this many times. You say, boy, do you see what cars are bringing? Well, they ain't worth that. Boy, do you see what campers are bringing? They ain't worth that. Boy, do you see what houses are bringing? They ain't worth that. Dealer told me that they're paying clean retail book on cars. At the wholesale auction, cars are up 45% in the past 18 months. Used cars. Did you know that dealerships are calling people who bought trucks and offer them every dime they paid for the truck back? They will call you and give you your money back for your truck if it's 3 or 4 years old. If bank will finance it, they'll give you every dime you paid for it because they can't get trucks. So they're buying used trucks back from the dealership that you bought it from new. I'm serious. And they're buying campers and they're buying everything. It's craziest thing you ever seen in your life, what they're paying. But here's the bottom line. Supply and demand. There are no chips. You can't buy new cars. They can't make campers fast enough. The recreational industry went crazy. You can't, anything to do with recreation, you can't get it. There's an absolute rush on it. Houses, the bubble will pop. You know it will. It happened before, after 9/11. We went into the mortgage, went into the housing bubble, and it grew and grew and grew and grew and grew, and boom, and then everybody lost them. I fear that's going to happen again. Little small houses, 1,600 square foot houses, 40, 50 years old, bringing $250,000 on a lot, which that same house would have brought 100, 120 three years ago, almost doubled in value. I saw a Zillow report that right now the price of houses is going up in some zip codes by 10% per month. Now think of that, 10% per month. But let me tell you what scares me about that. Most of the houses that are selling are being sold to people from somewhere else who don't come here. They see it on the internet, they have a virtual tour, and they bid 10, 15, 20% over ask for the house, which is already overpriced. And by that selling for that price, it drives the average up and the comps up. And by doing that, we're just throwing good money after bad, and the values of our houses are absolutely insane. I think I told you that one of our families went to the bank, sold their place, went to the bank, had land, wanted to build a new house, took the plans in, took the builder's estimate in, and the bank turned them down, had an 800 credit score. The bank turned them down and said, that house is not worth what it's going to cost to build it, because the appraisals are running 6 months behind the values. The appraised values are running 6 months behind the actual market value. Market value meaning what they're selling for. Here's the bottom line, though. Something's only worth what people are willing to pay for it. It's as simple as that. I had an old car one time. I had a car dealer in my church. I said, what's it worth? He said, it cost you $10 to find out. I said, how's that? He said, run it over to King's Auction Thursday night. If you know, sell it, it's $10. Run it through, see what it brings. He said, that's what it's worth. It's worth what somebody else is willing to pay for it. He said, and you might be surprised. It might be worth more than you think it is. And then again, it might not be worth half what you think it is. But right now, if it's a truck, if it's an SUV, if it's old, it doesn't matter. Anything to do that with an SUV, the four-wheel drive station wagons, anything like that is absolute gold. And people are in a retro mood, and so old Blazers, old Broncos, old anything like that, even the old Pathfinders, even the Japanese stuff, any of that old stuff, an old 4Runner, name your price. If you had an old 4Runner, you name your price. People are paying huge amounts for those things because they're retro and they're fixing them up and they're redoing them and they're doing all this stuff to them because they can't get no new ones. Anyway, yeah, I've never seen anything like it. Really hadn't. Never seen a time with much shortages. Never seen a time quite like this. And never seen many people at home not working and can't get people to work. And grocery store shelves are getting empty. And companies are now looking to bring in foreigners to work in factories because they can't keep the factories open because there's not enough people in America to work it. Wait and see when people get hungry if the leftist socialist don't say, hey, that's why we need to open the borders. Wait and see. It's all part of the big plan. Number one, it's the biggest vote-buying scheme it's ever been. But it's also part of the biggest plan to erase the borders and promote globalism that's ever been. And I believe it's also a part of the plan to break the American dollar so that we can have a global currency. and to stop the American exceptionalism. And the day that the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency of the world, we're in real trouble. Especially when you figure how much we have to buy from overseas. Yeah, how dependent we are on overseas stuff. Right now, we're in a catbird seat because our currency's about the third most valuable on the common market behind the British pound and the euro. We're third. But wait till we're 25th. Yeah. Wait till our currency bites the dirt and we have to buy things from overseas. And we can't make it here because we sold all the machines. We tore the factories down, built condominiums. Wait and see what I'm telling you. To survive, we will have to become a globalist economy, a globalist community. We'll have to. It's the only way we'll survive. Keep starving to death. And, of course, it plays into the one world economy, the one world currency, the one world leader, eventually a one world religion. Certainly, it's all coming, just like the scripture said it would. I'm glad, hallelujah, I've got dual citizenship. I'm a member of another country. Hallelujah. And up there, the streets are paved with gold. Are you? Are you? You got citizenship in two countries? Are you born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you died right now, where would you spend eternity? You need to listen. And then you might have already made that decision. You say, oh, preacher, I've decided heaven and hell years ago. I decided that. Well, there's a second question for you. You see, once you choose heaven, then you got a second question you need to be asked. Are you going to live for heaven or earth? There's heaven and hell. That's when you got saved. But the second question is, are you living for heaven or are you living for earth? Are you living for now? Or are you living for eternity? I dare say the majority said earth. May the things of earth grow strangely dim, as a songwriter said, in the light of his glory and grace. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to be found faithful. Save the soul this nearest hell. For the redeemed, help them, I pray, not to drive their tent pegs too deep. Help us to realize we're pilgrims passing through. Lord, help us not to get too comfortable in this old world because we realize it's temporary. Lord, help us to set our heart on things that are eternal. Plead the blood and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Pastor Randy Barton, until we meet again with On the Air, In the Air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.